Welcome to the Midsters Podcast, your podcast for inspiration on being bold and saying yes to making the most of your midlife.
I didn't plan on starting this podcast, but here we are, and you just handed it to me. So the epiphany right at the moment is I am. So here we go. I think it's a good conversation. I think it will be a good conversation, I should say, about epiphanies. We have them. Mm-hmm. Some people have more than others. Maybe there are little ones, and then there are big ones. What are your thoughts on epiphanies? What epiphany do you think was the biggest one in your life? Like a light? Did you have one? Did you have a light bulb moment?
I have lots of light bulb moments.
Ah.
I think the reason I wanted to talk about epiphanies is because I think we all do. And sometimes we don't recognize them in real time. We see them later as a moment where something became clear and it changed the trajectory of our lives. Have I had some? Yeah, I've had a lot. Specifics. I mean, I've had positive ones. I've had negative ones. Negative epiphanies where the world got turned on an axle because something I believed wasn't true. And I realized it wasn't true. And then positive ones where there's a new insight into how you can live your life that is like, oh, wow, that's a breathtaking moment. On the positive end of the spectrum, I remember when I got divorced. And I think I've talked about this before, but I was really struggling with whether to get divorced or not. And I spoke to my therapist and she said something that was truly an epiphany for me, which is make a decision whether or not to stay in your marriage based on what is best for you. Mm. Don't think about if you get divorced, will you get married again? Will you ever meet someone else? What will make your life feel right? And honestly, I had never looked at my life that way before. And sort of having that stark moment where it was suddenly in front of me, I can make a decision based on what I want. That was an epiphany.
Oh, that and look what it, I mean, look at what that epiphany and you following through with that.
It led to.
Exactly. Yeah. And here you are now.
So sometimes an epiphany leads you to get out of your preconceived notions mm-hmm. about the world and your role in it and lets you see it in a much more clear individual way.
Right. When I think about epiphanies in my own life, I don't think of a lot of them, actually. Maybe if I spent a little more time. But like those light bulb moments, and they don't have to be, like there's smaller ones as well. I remember, I'm embarrassed to even say it was probably day 4 or 5 that I'd spent with my future husband, that I just looked at him and I knew I was marrying this man. Mm-hmm. It was just, I'd never felt anything like that in my entire life. And it was so early on, but I just knew. Mm-hmm. It was more than intuition. It was like, wow, this is going to be my life. So that's one big one.
I know another one, actually, that you and I share. And it was after the first Windjammer sale, which uh-huh. was a group thing that we did with the Windjammer's own program. And you...
Oh, in 2021.
Right. And then afterwards, we were talking about the idea that you had to do something in this midlife space.
Yeah.
And I said to you, if you remember, I think the problem is you've been trying to do it alone. And this topic screams for community, a community of women. And you were like, oh, my God, yes. And that's how this whole thing got started. That was an epiphany.
That was. Yeah, that's true. When I had my first child and I had gotten my son home, and I looked down and I realized like everything I needed to do. And I was like, wow, this is responsibility.
Mm.
This child cannot do anything. This is true responsibility. Feeding, keeping, you know, just keeping someone alive, a baby, you know. That is like, wow, that's responsibility.
Yeah. And you know what? I had a similar epiphany, but... slightly different topic. I remember looking at my son when he came home and thinking, this is what love is.
Oh,
I would sacrifice myself in a moment for this being. And I had never felt that or understood it until that moment.
So unconditional, right?
So unconditional.
Yeah. No, it's a beautiful moment. Yeah, it's a beautiful moment. Love and responsibility.
But there are negative epiphanies.
There are.
And you and I talked about one that you had that I thought was fascinating.
Oh, I don't even know where to start on it. To make it short, and I've mentioned before on the podcast, and people that know me, a lot of people that listen have known my journey in life as an adult and during, and with a very heavy problem or challenge that I had with my oldest son who became very, very sick. And I'm a nurse. I went to the University of Texas. After that, I did a program with Baylor Methodist Hospital and worked in transplant and open heart surgery. I knew medicine and then went into public health. And I had so much respect and still do for medicine, the medical community professionals. But I was at a place where my son, I mean, it started out with what they thought was juvenile rheumatoid arthritis, and then they thought it was ulcerative colitis on top of it. Then they thought he had heart issues, and then they had neurovascular and neuromuscular. And it just, as you know, it was just awful.
It was a tough journey.
It was awful. And going to one physician and literally being put on meds for things that they thought, and maybe he did have, I don't know, and yet it not helping. Or maybe it helped that, but then something else fell apart. And in that journey, which took a couple years, I mean, he was getting treatment for some of these things. But I remember being at Children's Hospital and a doctor just threw their hands up. And I realized at that moment an awful epiphany. That medicine wasn't perfect. And there were so many things out there that people suffered for that they did not know. Mm-hmm. And people died. And I never realized, even as a nurse, I was in that thinking, that space that, okay, symptoms equal diagnosis, diagnosis equals treatment. And the majority of people live, at least they know how mm-hmm. to help somebody live. And I realized that they did not. And that was so scary.
You know, just as a side note, I think that's an important epiphany, not only because it led you to then really take a huge role in pushing treatment for your son forward and finding an actual solution, but also I think that's what undermines faith in our cultural institutions. We think too much of them. Mm-hmm. We think there's always an answer or this is always going to work out right because we can put our faith in this or that. And then when we realize that's not true, we completely abandon it. Like, okay, well, medicine didn't work for me, so I'm not going to go see the doctor or I'm not going to take this shot or I'm not going to take this medication. When in fact, a healthy relationship, that epiphany that you have, mm-hmm. that it's not infallible
right.
can help lead to a healthier relationship with the institution.
Yeah.
I had a kind of a similar thing, which I told you about, which is I spent my life in the law. I wanted to become a prosecutor because I think criminal law is so important. The criminal justice system, everyone in it has such a valuable stake. And I believed that our system of justice is the best in the world. I still believe that, or at least till recently believed that. But that doesn't mean it's not fallible. Mm-hmm. And so I had many cases as a lawyer, as a prosecutor, where I lost cases that I thought I should win. And I accepted that as being the price of justice, right? Better that one guilty man or 10 guilty men go free than one innocent man
yeah.
being convicted. Well, then I was in a case where an innocent man was convicted. And I knew it going into it. I knew he didn't do it. I talked to my supervisors about it. I said, we should not be trying this case. This is wrong. They insisted that we had to go forward. It was a weird case with political overtones to it. So I went forward and the defendant was convicted. And I have lived with that ever since because I know it was the wrong result. And in that moment, I realized our justice system may be better than any other country, but it's not perfect.
Right. you know, listening to that story of yours and talking about epiphanies and realizing something later, whether you just realize something or it's an actual epiphany, you know, kind of the fallacy in my thinking as young, that magical type of thinking is that if something does go wrong, it can be, you can unwind it.
You can't.
You can't. When you realize that you do something or something happens, don't ever think it can be unwound. Pause, you know, because not that you're just in life, the way it unfolds as well. Sometimes you have to be able to reconcile, you know, that life is not going to be what you thought. That magical thinking, not so much an epiphany, but it is an epiphany when you realize I can do all these things. And it's not going to change the outcome.
Right. And something could still go wrong. There could still be misery. There could still be sorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Life's not perfect.
No, no.
And nothing's perfect.
No, it's not. You know, we find that in our work lives. You just talked about one. And in my work life, there were times where I was just kind of hit upside the head in a way that, like, oh, okay, something I didn't think about before that was kind of an epiphany, whether it's the way somebody interacts or a change in policy. I did see that as well. And I was like, wow, okay, that's a light bulb moment. Sometimes they were good and sometimes not. I think about our podcast too. You kind of started this conversation with talking about the epiphany. You know, it's what we feel we're capable of. I think a lot of times we have these preconceived ideas of who we are and what we can do. I've been very much that person. And in the last decade, when my responsibilities lessened in my own life, and especially in the last 3 or 4 years, when my work life was no longer the same, I realize within myself, and you've helped me, that I can do whatever I want. If I can sit behind this mic, and I know I appear to be extroverted, I think I am extroverted, but then there is a piece of me that doesn't like to be front and center. So I'm extroverted when I want to, like, interact with somebody, but there are lots of people and I mean, I don't like to join theater and be front and center. And I've realized I can do it. I didn't know that before. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't know the power within myself that I could be. I've always been adventurous and a risk taker, but this is bold. I think it's bold.
It is bold.
And sometimes you can't do it on your own. And I could not. I'm not naive enough to think I could do this by myself. I could not. I can do it with Leslie Ann. And I can do it with Elizabeth. But I realized I can do it. And I think that's a beautiful part of the epiphanies, when it was something you didn't think you could do or didn't think about. And then all of a sudden, it's the one that resonates so beautifully within ourselves.
You know, in that vein, another quick story. I had a case once where, and I may have talked about this before, so listeners, if I did, sorry. I had a case once where I went to court and I had a judge berating me, and it was about something I didn't do. And I was just totally terrified. I was being screamed at in open court in front of witnesses by this judge who was irate over something that my predecessor had failed to do. And I had an epiphany in the middle of this transaction with this irate judge where I realized this is not my fault and not my problem. I can't make him not be angry, but I don't have to personally absorb this. So it was literally like I put on a shield of armor. I stepped back from the podium. I crossed my arms over my chest and I just relaxed. And I, like, created this impervious wall where all of his tirade was not getting through. And the interesting thing about it was, after a moment, he stopped and realized he was yelling at me and I had nothing to do with it.
Oh my gosh.
But I learned in that moment something that I had not previously realized. I'm not responsible for everything. Just because someone in my presence is angry doesn't mean I did anything wrong or I'm responsible for fixing it or I can fix it. I can simply say, not me, not on me, and let the other person figure it out. I can let someone else own their feelings. I don't have to be responsible. And that is not the way I lived my life up to that point.
Right.
And it was such an important epiphany because I was then able to take that and put that into my life as a parent and let my children own their own feelings. It's not always my job as a parent to fix this for you.
Right.
Sometimes you made a mistake. You got to fix it for yourself. It was really important.
I think the epiphanies that lessen or relieve us of anxiety
are important.
Are so important. You know, we worry about our children. Not everybody has children, but we happen to have children, and I have children. And you worry about them for so long. And then all of a sudden, they have a job. Mm-hmm. They have a roof over their head. They're paying their bills. And you have this epiphany that I don't need to be anxious about this anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, my kids are doing okay. And why I didn't, you know they're going to, but there is that moment where something happens. And maybe it is they buy a house, or maybe it is that they have a job, or maybe it is they're like, hey, mom, I'm okay. I don't need anything right now.
My epiphany was slightly different. My epiphany was not only are they doing okay, but also I can't, at this point, they're out in the world. They're not under my roof. I can no longer control what they do or what happens to them. Mm. And much as I really don't want anything bad to happen, it's beyond my control. And that's the point when I shut the phone off at night.
Yeah.
And stopped waiting for that middle of the night phone call that they need help with something. I can no longer be responsible for that.
It's true.
And they're going to have to live their lives and I'm going to have to deal with whatever happens. But that's life.
It's also, we did a podcast on harmony recently. And talking about just letting things play out, but letting life breathe. And I think when you're talking about your kids and my kids too, it's just letting their life and my life, that relationship, just breathe and not hover or worry or, and it is okay, you know? But we don't think that when they're 8 or when they're, definitely not when they're 16.
No,
Jesus,
no.
Not at 21. What am I thinking?
Listen, when my son was in college in his early 20s, I was still checking. I had his online login, and I was still checking his assignments to make sure he was turning stuff in. And then one day I was like, why am I doing this? I mean, this is crazy. He's got to do this himself.
I wish I would have had those epiphanies earlier because they probably would have been absolutely fine. But then I think life has its timing as well.
Right.
But yes.
And our process, I mean, look, our lives are all about growth, right? So we're going to grow at the pace we're going to grow and we're going to make mistakes and we're going to overdo things sometimes and underdo them other times. That's part of our life stream.
Right.
That's an epiphany.
Yeah.
That your life is an independent thing that will proceed at its own pace.
I think also some of the epiphanies are like light bulb moments of things that have never happened before and have no relationship to anything. And then I think that there's those epiphanies that the reason you got them is because you put things in place and built things up to where, wow, now I don't have to worry. Like with kids, like it's going to be okay. But then there are some things that just like when I was sitting across from Robert and realized, I didn't know this man, but I knew I was going to marry him.
Mm-hmm.
That was just like something out of the blue that I just knew. I didn't work towards it. It wasn't something that I hoped would happen, you know? I mean, of course you want to meet your partner, but that is an epiphany just like out of the blue. The one about the medical, it shouldn't have been out of the blue. I was so naive. I know not everybody lives in life and we all have our journeys, but I thought puzzle pieces came together and worked, you know, once the puzzle is done for most people. Thank goodness for NIH. Mm-hmm. And I had an angel in you. I had an angel in your friend. I had an angel at Children's Hospital. All kinds of angels that helped put that all together.
You know,
and now my son's getting married.
And now your son's getting married. And he's a lawyer.
And he's a lawyer.
And he's doing so well.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. You have two great kids.
Thank you.
You know, you mentioned Angel. Another epiphany I've had, which may sound a little strange, but I genuinely think this, is that there really are angels among us.
Yes.
And I think that there are people that we encounter because we're meant to encounter them, and they are guideposts along our way. And I've had those experiences. We talked a long time ago, one of our early podcasts, about spirituality. And we all shared a spiritual episode that we had that I think revealed some sort of angelic dimension, if you will. I talked about mine. You talked about yours. I think when I realized that that's actually a real thing, that there are people on this earth that are there to be signposts for us. Mm-hmm. That was revelatory for me. That was an epiphany. So, you know, stopping and really listening when someone has something to say instead of overriding it is actually really important, because you need to let the epiphany penetrate.
Right. You know, talking about that, I'm thinking of a conversation that I had recently with a friend, and just talking about life and people and relationships. And this individual said that they feel like part of the way they live their life is allowing people to see their potential. Mm. And I would say that this person is an illuminator in ways. Like, I don't know a lot of like true illuminators. I think my youngest son is an illuminator in some ways. He always makes the people around him feel they can do anything. Mm. This is my youngest case, and Wahana a little bit too, but and I think it sometimes takes somebody to have that faith in you, to illuminate yourself where you think that you can do. Like, I mean, you kind of did that with this. You're like, okay, American Minsters needs to be. I was doing a blog. It's not that I wasn't doing anything. I was writing. But you gave me that power and opened up my mind to think of things that I can do with you, that we could do. That is... that's somebody else helping you have that light bulb moment, right?
Yes, thank you for saying that.
It's so true.
Yeah. I also think sometimes you can have an epiphany from watching someone else, right? Mm-hmm. I think we're all so often in our own head, and we live in a very competitive culture where we're always comparing ourselves to other. Are they doing better than we are? You know, do they have more money? Do they live in a nicer house? Do they have a better job? Are their kids better behaved? That we don't stop sometimes to reflect on who they are and what lesson they might be able to teach us, right? If we're always chasing after what someone else has, we're not stopping to think about what is it about them that got them to that spot? And is that a place I really want to be, mm-hmm. right? So watching people and sort of really seeing them holistically, is this really the life that I want? And if it is, what is it about them? So I feel that way sometimes when I meet somebody that seems really at peace with themselves. What is it about them that maybe got them there? And I really try to observe. So it's a kind of a cultured epiphany, if
right.
you will, an educated epiphany from watching and observing, because I want to have that epiphany. I want to know what makes Marianne such an inherently happy person.
Yeah. Listening to you talk about that, and these are words that we use in so many podcasts, but it's the pause.
Mm-hmm.
It is the silence. And talking about epiphanies and what you just highlighted, the epiphany basically in taking pause and taking things in, that is a way to have an epiphany. Most of us think about epiphanies from like a death or something horrible that's happened in life that's kind of hit us over the head and we realize something, or something good, but like an event or something. Mm-hmm. But you're right. It can be definitely in the pause and in the silence and just allowing yourself to look at something and to be seen. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, we don't do enough of that either. And there can be epiphanies in that if we allow us to see somebody else or an experience or an environment. You recently talked in a podcast about your experience in Africa.
And huge epiphany.
Yeah, just the pause that you had, but also you just allowed that entire trip to almost be theater, where you were involved in part of it, but you also sat back and let it resonate. And I'm sure there was more than one epiphany in that.
And some of them, I think, I'm not even aware of at the moment. Like, mm-hmm. it will, as time goes by and I reflect more on what we experienced, I think more epiphanies will come out of it. And I think that's an important point, too. Sometimes an epiphany is a light bulb. Mm-hmm. Somebody turns on the switch. Sometimes it's more like a little fire is lit and it takes a while until it builds and grows and really begins to illuminate yeah. things. And that's good. It's good to sort of stay with that little flicker until it becomes a flame so that you can really see what's in front of you.
True. Yeah, epiphanies, they're in all kinds of shapes and forms.
Yeah, they really,
you know? And usually we can take those epiphanies and learn from them. And sometimes it changes our course, right? It can change our course of the way we look at life, the way we take life in. It also can change the way we think about ourselves, or something we've held on to that we realize, okay, now I look at it differently. And we have this moment that, like, no, this is why. And I think it's something very simplistic, something very simple in my life that I should have realized. I always felt bad about mispronouncing words. You've heard this story mm-hmm. before. And my family, because we live in one house, they obviously hear it and see, like, my phonetic struggle sometimes. And I always felt like, wow, why am I like this? I think I'm smart, educated, I can learn. Why is phonics so difficult for me in some words? I can look at a word and just have a really hard time with it, Leslie Ann. I'm sure you've heard me mispronounce words before. And the moment I kind of realized, well, hell, you know what? I was born in England, had a Scottish mother with a strong brogue, had an American father. They moved us to Australia. I spent a year in Singapore, a year in Indonesia, landed in Arkansas, all by the age of 10. No wonder. Like, it gave me some grace for myself. So it took, but I was in my way adult years, probably in my 40s or 50, before I realized, okay, I'm not going to own this anymore. Like, it is what it is. And it just is.
Was an epiphany.
It was epiphany. Like, I'm not dumb. I'm not, uneducated.
I actually have a similar kind of epiphany story. I, many, many years ago, right after I graduated from law school and I was working for a judge, one of the other clerks that I became very good friends with was married to a man he was a few years ahead of us, and he was a Supreme Court law clerk. Very, very smart man. Yeah. Lovely man. We had dinner, my then boyfriend and I had dinner with them. And during the course of dinner, I mispronounced a word that I often mispronounce, and it's Vigil, which I said vigil, but it's vigil, or is it vigil? I said vigil. See, I still don't even
know. I
said
vigil.
Okay, vigil. I don't know. Whatever.
But I don't know. Yo, don't, please.
I think I
don't said, take any lessons from me.
I said vigil and it's vigil. I don't know. Whatever it was. When they left after dinner, my then boyfriend said to me, and it's not my current husband, so, because he's too nice, he would never say this, but this person said, oh my God, that was so embarrassing. You mispronounced the word. I just want it to crawl under the table. And I was like, oh my God, really? He was like, yeah, you sounded so stupid.
Oh my gosh.
And he was so cruel about it.
Yeah.
And the next day I talked to my friend, the wife who had come for dinner. And I said, I'm so embarrassed. I said that word wrong. And she just looked at me. She said, you know, when we got home last night, her husband, who is this super smart guy, Supreme Court law clerk, said to her, I was so touched when Leslie Ann mispronounced this word because it made me realize she's human. I so looked up to her as being so smart and on top of things. And when she mispronounced, I thought, she's just a regular gal.
Oh, different perspectives.
And that perspective was an epiphany for me. Like, mm-hmm. what I consider to be a flaw, someone else looks at as something that makes me approachable.
Yeah.
And for this really bright guy to be taken by that, huge epiphany. So now I mispronounce words And I just do it with impunity.
I'm
just human.
I don't even hide under a blanket anymore with it. It's just out there. It just is what it is. But yeah, it was an epiphany. So there are all kinds of epiphanies.
You know, I think that as we're talking about this, one of the things that's going on in my head, I'm very aware of my thinking. So I'm kind of having epiphanies as we go. Little mini ones, mini epiphanies. This whole concept of an epiphany as a sort of an inspiration that comes to you. And we talked a little bit about angels that guide you. Mm-hmm. And I would also say that another piece of that, and maybe it would be a good podcast topic, is serendipity. Mm-hmm. When something spontaneous or seemingly spontaneous happens that illuminates something for you. Those serendipitous moments can also be little mini epiphanies.
Right.
And it's beautiful how the patchwork of the universe works to guide us if we just are present enough to see it, hear it, accept it.
Some of the most special people in my life were serendipitous encounters. You know? Yeah, I'll leave that. I have some thoughts on that too, but we should leave it for a different podcast. But you're right, because there are people in my life that serendipitously ended up there that have enlightened me in ways where I've had epiphanies that I have changed, literally changed course.
There are no coincidences.
No.
Those things happen for a reason.
It's true. I love life.
Mm-hmm.
Life can be hard, and it's harsh, I know, for a lot of people out there at times. But when we think about the good in it, and it, also if we open ourselves up, what are your thoughts about, you use the word woo-woo, I'm going to use it for one moment, just one time, listeners, when I hear it out of my mouth again, but I'm going to use the word woo-woo. It's usually Lizanne's word. Anyway, what are your thoughts about... it does sound woo-woo, but allowing ourselves to just allow, I don't know, I don't want to say spiritual moments, I guess, and almost in allowing an energy, we invite something in to help us have or maybe realize or recognize what might be an epiphany and a change of course for ourselves. Do you believe that there is, that we can allow ourselves to live in positive light and allow more of this into our lives? Or do you think that it is going to unfold the way it is and we don't have any control over that?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I think we do have some level of control. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the broader universe is beyond our grasp. So there will always be things like, for example, we can't stave off death. Mm-hmm. We can't stave off illness.
Right.
We can't stave off bad people doing bad things. Those are things that are just realities in the world. But within a smaller sphere, I think we can direct we can change the direction of our own lives by being aware of our own energy and where we choose to focus it. And that's where I think epiphanies come into play, because they can remind us sometimes to look at something from a different perspective. Mm-hmm. So that we can redirect and refocus in that way. I think if you put positive energy out there, you tend to attract positive energy, and negative attracts negative. But I also think a certain mindset within that can attract more of that mindset. So if you're someone who sees, oh, there's a real possibility for connection, there's something really beautiful about community, then you will seek out community and connection, and you will build it, and it will rebound to you in exactly the way you anticipate.
So I feel the same way. I think that positivity, having positive vibes, living a gratuitous life, having gratitude, having love, putting those things out there. I do think the universe has its own wisdom, but I also think that we can invite a lot of good things for ourselves. It's almost going back to the most simplistic statement of half empty, half full, mm-hmm. right? But I do think if we are in a good mindset and we think the best of life, not that bad things won't happen, because bad things have happened. But I do think we can open our minds and pause and listen, and we will have epiphanies that will illuminate pieces of us that may make us, as you said, more whole.
And that's a beautiful place to pause and ask Elizabeth, who's been listening, if we have presented any epiphanies to her today.
Are epiphanies revelations from within ourselves, or do they feel like they are coming from something greater outside ourselves?
You know, and my very woo-woo response is, I think the greater thing in the universe is contained within us. We are all little mini microcosms of the greater universe. So, yeah, those things happen within us, but they happen for a greater purpose, and they're usually reflective of broader themes of life and reality that exist in the universe, if that makes sense.
I think it's a combination. I think that there are epiphanies within ourselves that will resonate, but I also think that we need to take in the bigger universe to be able to have a mindset of openness, harmony, positive thoughts, positive energy, to allow that within ourselves. I think they work together.
Have you ever had an epiphany sparked by something completely ordinary, whether that be a smell, a sound, a passing comment, that kind of changed the way you view the world?
It's an interesting question. And I just, as you know, came back from a trip to Africa. And during the trip, we spent a lot of time in a rural village where there is no plumbing. There's no running water. And, you know, we were sort of warned in advance, try not to use the bathroom while you're there. And, but, you know, nature is nature. And so I did have to use the bathroom. And it was, I'm just going to say, primitive, very primitive. And my initial reaction was, I'm not going to do that. But then I kind of realized, like, this is the way people for centuries lived. There's people that still live this way now, but they've lived this way for centuries. And my own grandparents, who came from a rural village in Italy, lived this way. So who am I to be, you know, particular or meticulous about when and where I deal with my bodily functions? Bodily functions are bodily functions. They have to be dealt with. And if this is the way they're going to be dealt with, this is the way they're going to be dealt with. I can't look down my nose at that or at the people who live that way, because that's not, it's not within their control to change.
Yeah.
So it was kind of an epiphany about the connection between all of us, that like we all have to do the things we have to do in life and find a way to accommodate them based on where and when and how we live.
I would say that the biggest thing that I think is ordinary now, especially because of iPhones and photography, was picking up my camera. It changed my lens. It changed so much from my travel to how I understand people, how I want to engage with people, not just through photography, but through conversation of why I'm even attracted to taking that picture. So picking up a camera and going out and exploring the world definitely changed so much for me.
Here's a funny answer that you can use for a clip. Yeah, I had an epiphany about chicken. Chicken has certain biological parts, and when it's butchered properly, there's a breast, a wing, a leg. But in some parts of the world, they do not butcher chicken that way. They do not see it for its biological components. They just hack the heck out of it. And then you get a piece of chicken that's got white meat and dark meat mixed in, which is kind of unacceptable. But not everyone views a chicken the same way.